Okay, so again, please bring up the access database. We are going to look at SQL today. Okay, what we've been doing up until now is looking at the user interface. Okay, so when we've created a query, we have brought up this user interface. And the user interface makes it easy to put the fields in and to choose the criteria and all of that kind of stuff. However, that is the way Access is doing it. Other databases do it very similar, but behind the scenes, all of them have SQL. And SQL is the structured query language. It also can be pronounced SQL. So some people call it SQL, some people call it SQL. It is the structured query language that is behind all of the queries. So when you set up a query here and put all the things in the boxes, it creates the SQL. And the SQL is what it actually executes. Okay, it executes the SQL that it sets up. SQL happens to be one of those things that if you read the list of things that employees value somebody knowing, SQL is up there. So we're just going to introduce SQL, but it is something worth pursuing if you are going into computing, because SQL is just an important thing because it gives you access to a database. And if you know SQL, you can work with Oracle, you can work with Access, you can work with SQL Server, you can work with MySQL, you can work with any version of SQL. There are slight idiosyncrasies between the versions, but they're slight. And so if you know it for one language, you know it for other languages, and it makes you very portable. So I'm going to go in here and I'm going to say the create, and then I did query design just like I've always done. And I came up with this. Now I have one of two issues. I can add the table at this point, or I can just close up. Notice over here it is now showing SQL view, which means it's now showing how you can do this in SQL. Okay, so I'm gonna just close up and click on SQL view. So I'm closing up and I'm going to click on SQL view. And it's now coming up. And the only thing it is showing there is the select clause. Now, you can go ahead and write right there. I'm going out and going to write in Notepad and copy and paste because I want to have things a little bit bigger so that you can see them. Okay, so I'm going to write what I'm going to write in SQL on Notepad and then copy it over here into the query, okay? But you can write right in the query if you want to. So if I want to see something, I can say select asterisk from Stu and then put a semicolon in. Okay. The select tells what fields you want to see. Asterisk means I want to see all of the fields. And we'll see in a minute we can change that so we only see specific fields. But select asterisk from Stu. Now, I made the command select and the thing that goes with it from capitals. I did that for readability. There's absolutely no need to make them capitals. You can keep them, you can make them lowercase. It doesn't matter. I just happen to think that if I'm trying to have them stand out it makes a difference between, this is part of the command, Stu is part of the data, so I put that in lowercase, and that differentiation makes a little sense to me. The other thing is, I could have written this all on one line. So it's very easy in that sense. It doesn't matter the case you're using, and it doesn't matter whether you are on one line or on two lines. Okay, so again, I'm writing this in Notepad simply so you can see it better. But in fact, I would come over here and write it, and it would work fine. And I am going to, from this point on, copy and paste from here. So this is from Stu. Notice the semicolon at the end. Okay? So now if I want to see the results, I come over here and I click on View, and there are the results. It has shown me, that's the other reason I want it in Notepad, so I can show them both together. Okay, so that has shown me all of the fields from Stu. So select asterisk from Stu showed me all of the fields. Okay, so there it is again. Select asterisk from Stu. That meant select all fields from Stu. Again, I can go back and forth between and click on SQL view and go back to SQL view. And I can click on data sheet view and see the data. And SQL view, I go back to SQL. Okay, so now I'm going to say, I only want to see ID number, Stu name, and major. Okay, so I can write those three words out, that these are the field names I want to see. Now, I have to obviously remember my field names, or I have to go back and look at them, okay? But I think I remember my name, so we will see if I remember them or not. Okay. So again, I can copy and paste this over here, or I will just type them, because it's... And so now I am going to do a view, and I am just seeing the three fields that I asked for. Okay, so this got me just the three fields that I asked for. Okay. So I can either see all the fields or I can select certain fields. Now this is the same as in the user interface when you choose how many fields to bring down. That's what you were doing there. You were doing this select. So if you only brought down ID number, Stu name, and major, it generated the SQL that says select ID number, Stu name, and major from Stu, and it then executed the SQL. It does not execute the user interface. It executes the SQL. Okay? So that's the result. Now there's another clause that I can put in here. I can take out the semicolon and save it for a minute. And I can say where major equals CI. Now that's a literal that I'm putting in there. CI is a literal, and it has to be in quotes. If I didn't put CI in quotes, let's see. If I didn't put CI in quotes, it would go looking for a field name named CI, okay? Because it would think it was another field name, just like major is a field name. So it would go looking for a field name named Say I, and it wouldn't find it and would give you an error. Putting quotes around it tells it it's a literal, and that I want to compare what is in the field called major to the actual letters CI. And it is case sensitive, so we have to put the CI in capitals because that's the way we did it. So the CI has to be in capitals. Okay. So now I'm going to take this and copy it and go back to the SQL view and paste it in. And then after I've pasted it in, I can view it. SQL view and view, sorry. So now what I've got is the three fields for the major equal to CI. Now, I can also put in ands and ors here. Okay, actually I'm going to save this. So if I want to save it, like anything else, I can click over there on the little X. Do you want to save the changes to query 2? I'm going to call it SQL major, and I can save the query. Okay, so I've now saved the query, and it is showing up over here as SQL major. Okay. So now I can get into ands and ors. Okay, so I'm going to do a create query design, and I want to close this and bring up SQL view. Okay, so I'm going to say here, okay, apparently it doesn't want me to get rid of it that way. I'm going to say and number courses greater than 12. Okay. So I've now got an and relationship going on here. I'm saying where the major equals CI and the number of courses is greater than 12. And looking back at Tuesday, this is an and relationship. Okay. And again, an and relationship means, come on, you can do it. It means nothing. Okay, come on. No. I have no idea why it suddenly decided not to write there. Okay, now I got one line. So walking away is the key, right? Whatever. So major equals CI, if the answer is yes, then the answer is no. So it's just like the way I was doing the logic before. If number of courses is greater than 12, then I am telling it to display. Yeah, number of courses is not greater than 12, I'm telling it to do nothing. And I connect the yes and the no. Okay. So that is what I want to do. We'll make notepads smaller, and then maybe I can actually get a picture of both. So that's what I want to do. Okay. So I'm going to take this and I'm going to copy it and put it into the query. And now I am going to run the query. So I'm saying view, and apparently Linda was the only one that had number of courses greater than the major.
Now,
pardon?
Can you repeat?
That Linda French apparently is the only one that has number of courses greater than 12. And it would actually be better, so I'm going to go back to SQL view, and I'm going to add up on the top line that I want to see number of courses. Okay, because adding that up on the line means that it will actually show the field. Okay? And so now I'll go to the view and click on it, and we can see that Linda had 15. Okay? So she clearly was greater than 12. Okay. And apparently there weren't other people that had more than 12. Okay. I can save this. Do you want to save the design? Yes. And I'm going to call it SQL and I can save it. Now I can go back and look at the table and look at it and see if it was right. And the CI, this one had 12 courses, so that wasn't greater than 12. 10 wasn't greater than 12. 15 was, so there's Linda. 5 isn't greater than. The next two are BU majors. And the last one is Amy, and she's got 6. So indeed, it gave me the right output because there was only one person there that was a CI major and had greater than 12 courses. Okay? If I'd said greater than 10, I would have picked up Susan as well. So I've now got that going on. Okay. So now I am going to close that. And I'm going to go back. And I'm going to make another view. So I'm going to go create, query design, close, and SQL view. And this time I'm going to look for an OR. So I'm going to put an OR here, and maybe I'll make it greater than 10. Okay. So that's what I'm looking at right now. Now, an OR relationship, again, just to refresh, an OR relationship, okay? And if I put it down and walk away, and then I come back, let's see if it will work. There is no correlation between those. So if the major is CI, I'm going to display. If it's not CI, I've got a second chance. And the second chance is the number of courses greater than 10. And if the answer is yes, I display. And if I get a no to both of them, I'm that's what will come up. Okay? So this is what I want to do. Now what I need to do is run this, so I am going to copy and paste and bring it over and paste it in here, and then I'm going to tell it to make that go away, and then I'm going to view it. So I'm looking for CI or number of courses greater than 10. Okay, that was apparently not a good number, so we'll try maybe greater than 5. And it would have been nice again if I'd put number of courses in there, so I will do that now. Okay, so if I go back to my SQL view, I'm going to change it and put this there, okay, and see if I can pick up a few more people by doing that. So now I'm going to view it, and I did pick up a BU person, because greater than 5 got me a BU person, okay? So this was CI or number of courses greater than 5. Okay, these three actually met both criteria. This one only met the CI criteria, just a second, because it's not greater than 5. This one did not only met the number of courses criteria, because it wasn't CI, and this one was both. Both I don't care about with an or, but if it happens to be both, that's fine. I only care about one or the other. Yeah?
If you get a syntax error from the front.
Okay, have you got the name of the table correct?
Yeah.
Eric, would you come look at it? Okay. So, that was an or. And if I want to save this, I can click on the X. Do you want to save the changes? Yes. And I'm going to call that SQL or. Okay, the next one we're going to look at is that I want a CI major and yes and no. If it's not a CI major, I want to do nothing. If it is, I want to ask, is the GPA greater than 3? And if it is, I'm going to display. And if not, I want to ask, is the number of courses greater than 5? And if it is, I want to display. And if the answer is no, okay. So this one is one of the ones that we talked about on Tuesday. What is this saying? What has to be true?
CI.
If major's not CI, I'm out of there. So the major of CI has to be true. And then either of these two. either one of these two also has to be true. It doesn't matter which one, it doesn't matter if it's both, but either of those have to be true. Either the GPA has to be greater or the number of courses has to be greater than 5. Okay. What just happened? Well, it apparently took, so we will not worry about it. Oh, and now it's back. Okay, so I'm going to do create query design. Close this and go to the query to write the query. But again, I'm going to write it in Notepad first and then copy it over there. So I have got, first of all, since I'm doing GPA, I'm going to put that up there as well, so that I'm going to see the GPA as well. Okay. Now remember the rule. Ands get resolved before ors. And you can change that with parentheses. Ands get resolved before ors. And you can change that with parentheses. And parentheses can be used in SQL. So try writing this for a minute and see what you'll come up with. I want CI and either number of courses greater than 5, or I guess I have GPA first. Doesn't matter, but I'll stick with what I put on the flowchart. Either GPA greater than 3 or number of courses greater than 5. I think that's what I wrote. So try putting that into the where clause. Yeah.
I keep getting a syntax error.
Yeah, why not?
I keep getting an error.
So, what should I write now? After CI, what should I put? Yeah.
And courses greater than 5 or GPA greater than 3.0.
Okay, and I'm going to go with GPA first, but doesn't matter. And greater than 3 or?
Or courses greater than 5.
Is that all?
And total at the end.
Okay. Does this work? What needs to be fixed? Right now, the way this will resolve is ands are resolved before, just one sec, ands are resolved before ors. So that means these two will be together. And it will say major CI and GPA greater than 3, or just this one. That one will stand alone. Yeah.
Is this supposed to be a parenthesis, not parenthesis, a quotient on the...
Go back to parenthesis, because you were right on that.
Parenthesis? All right. I don't know. I'm like stoned right now, so... They're supposed to be around the 3 and the 5?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. So what I've got to do is I should be putting parenthesis around these two. Around the 3 and the 5. Because what that now does is it says CI and you can almost read these parentheses as either. So it is CI and either GPA greater than 3 or number of courses greater than 5. Because of the parentheses, it resolved what was inside the parentheses first and said one of these has to be true. Okay, and then it comes out and says, okay, a major CI and one of those is true, I'm going to display. So ands are resolved before ors unless you change the order of operation with parentheses. And if you change the order of operation with parentheses, you get what we want, which is major has to be CI and either of those have to be true. Okay? So I'm going to save this as something. Oh, I haven't run it yet. That's my problem. Okay, create, query, close, and put that in there. No, I didn't go to SQL view. Sorry about that. Okay, so let me try that one more time. Create, query design, close, SQL view, and now I can paste it in. Okay, and when I run this, that's what I get. Okay, I only got CI majors that have a GPA greater than 3 or number of courses greater than 5. Now the only one that didn't have a greater than 3 is this one, and this one got it because the number of courses was greater than 5. On all the others, the GPA was greater than 3. Okay. On Robert Costa, GPA was greater than 3, but number of courses was not greater than 5, and that was fine because it had a GPA greater than 3. So this meets my criteria. Okay, now I want you to do this one. So go ahead and try that one. Okay, the flow chart that goes with that is saying, is the major BU, is the GPA greater than 3, if it is, display. If the GPA isn't greater than 3, I'm done, because I know that the person is a BU major, and only BU majors that have a GPA greater than 3 are displayed. If it's not BU, I ask, is it a CI major? If it is, then is the GPA greater than 3.5? If it is, display. If not, I have nothing to do. So that's the logic layout of that. So now I want to be back to access. Okay, so I'm going to create a query design. I'm closing it. I'm picking SQL view. And what do I want to have on my where clause now?
Open parentheses, major equals in quotes B and GPA greater than.
Okay, you said parentheses. Major equals CI, right? Oh, BU,
yeah.
Sorry. And
GPA greater than 3.
GPA greater than 3.
Close parentheses.
Okay.
Or open parentheses, major equals. In quotes, CI. And GPA greater than 3.5.
Yep. Okay, looks good. Okay, so this is the one of the ways you can code it. Now, what I want to bring up is, are the parentheses necessary on this one? No. Because ands are resolved before ors. So it would have combined these two just by the rule. It would have combined these two just by the rule. And it would have then said this or that. So the parentheses are not needed. Are they nice to have for clarity? Sure. Lots of times people throw them in just because it makes it clear that it's these two or these two. But in fact, logically, the parentheses are not needed. They are okay either way. Okay? So I'm going to take this and copy it and come up here and put it in. And then I'm going to do the view, and those are the two people that come up. And why isn't it letting me take the picture right now, or both? Let's try this one more time. Yes. Okay, now if I take out the parentheses, so I'm going to go back to SQL view, and I'm going to take out the parentheses. And when I take out the parentheses, I'm going to run it, and I get the same two people. Okay, just to make the point that the parentheses weren't needed, but they were nice for clarity. And again, a lot of people put them in just because they do make it clear. It's easy to see that it's these two or these two, okay? But it's not a requirement. Okay. So apparently none of the BU majors had a GPA greater than 3. Okay, so if I go back over to SQL view and I change this and see if they come up, if they've got a greater than 2, now I got a BU major. Okay, because I had a BU major that just had a 3, so it wasn't greater than 3. So now I've got a BU major showing up. Okay. Okay, questions. So the big thing with SQL is that instead of filling in boxes, I've got to write code. So I'm writing the code that tells it what I want to see. Okay. Now, I have got this code written as SQL view. Okay, so I've got that code written there as SQL view. Microsoft writes it a little bit differently when it does it. So if I go here and I click on just plain design view, actually, I'm not sure it's going to mess it up right yet. No, it didn't mess it up. Okay, we'll try a different one. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go in, create query design, add, and I'm going to go back to the old way of doing it. And I'm going to look for major BU. And GPA greater than 2. Whoops. Yeah, greater than 2. Or CI and GPA greater than 3. Oh, 3.5. I think it was 3. Okay, so that's the way I could have done that if I was using the user interface. So now I'm going to go and I am going to run this, and that's what I got. And now I'm going to look at the SQL view. And this is the SQL view that it generated. Okay, I had done 3.5. Well, we'll change that to 3 so it matches. Okay, so one way that I wrote it, another way that Microsoft fixed it up for me. First of all, every field name now has stu dot, has the table name dot in front of it. In fact, that is only required if you're using multiple tables and two tables have the same field on them. And it's used to differentiate between them. But Microsoft prefers to put it on all of them. I don't have a problem with that, that's fine. But look at the parentheses that it threw in there, okay? I can't figure out what that says. Can you? There are too many parentheses, okay? It has overkilled the parentheses. Now, this happens because it is generating code and it has to cover all possibilities, and so they get carried away and they come up with an extra 20 parentheses in there, or whatever it is, which to me makes it much, much harder to read and much harder to figure out. When you look at the one up here, and with the two parentheses that we had in there, it was even clearer. And now when you look down here, you can't see it at all. If you make a mistake and go back and forth between the user interface and SQL too many times, Microsoft will fix your SQL for you. Okay? I don't want Microsoft fixing your SQL for you. I want the SQL that you write. So, when you pass in the assignment that is on the sheet for this week, I want you to send me not only the Access database, but I want you to copy and paste the SQL you wrote and send me a sheet, a text, whatever, of the SQL as you wrote it. So that if Microsoft messes it up, I can see it the way you wrote it. Yeah.
Is that for the one that's due today?
No, it's for the one that I assigned today, basically.
Okay. All right.
That's due next Thursday.
All right.
Okay? So, essentially, I want you to copy and paste this and send me a text file, or it can be a Word file because I'm not going to run it, of the way you wrote it as opposed to the way Microsoft may have fixed it. And Microsoft may not fix any of yours, but if you go back and forth too many times between hitting the tool icon and going into the tools as opposed to going to SQL view, then at some point it decides frequently to fix it for you. And I don't want to see that, okay? I want you to write the SQL. And again, if you want to write it with the one set of parentheses, or the two sets of parentheses, that's fine. So if you want to write it this way, with the parentheses there, that's fine. But the 10,000 parentheses that Microsoft puts in, as I said, that as far as anything else, it makes it confusing. I have no idea what that really says. Okay, I can't figure it out. So, you can do it the way you wrote it, and I want you to pass it in that way. Okay. I've got a few minutes, which is what I wanted. Okay, so that basically wraps up what we're going to look at Access. We're going to revisit it back in November, where we will look at multiple tables in Access. So don't think you get to forget it. We'll come back to it in late November, early December, and take a look at some of those things. Okay, what I want to talk about now is just a little bit of basics. Okay, and we're going to continue that on Tuesday, and then we're going to continue on with logic. And then we're going to start writing programs. Okay, so when you write a program, you're going to key it in, and it is going to go into memory. This is my computer, and it's going to go into memory. And there's going to be inside memory either a compiler or an interpreter. And the compiler or the interpreter will translate the program. Okay, so I'm going to write a program when I come to writing code. And I'm going to write a program that's going to have multiple lines of code. And it's going to be written in a high-level language. Like we're going to write in JavaScript, we're going to write in Visual Basic. So it's going to be written in a high-level language. Okay, computers work with zeros and ones, with bits. They don't understand anything other than zeros and ones. Okay? So the compiler and the interpreter basically translates this into machine language, language that the computer can use. So I'm starting out, and this is my source program. Okay, so it's my source program. And I key it in, and I save it on a disk or whatever, and then I tell the compiler or the interpreter to translate it. Okay. The compiler or interpreter makes a difference, makes an attempt to translate it. And if it is successful, it produces what is called the object code, which is machine language. So if it is successful, it returns object code. If it is not successful, it goes back to the user and gives the errors. So if it's not successful, it goes back to the person sitting at the machine and tells it the errors. Okay, now the difference between a compiler and an interpreter is a compiler takes the whole thing and compiles it all into an object program. So we're really talking mostly about a compiler here. It turns it into an object program that can be run. The interpreter interprets it one line at a time. And when it finds a line it can't figure out, it crashes. The compiler puts it all together and gives you all the errors. The interpreter does it individually. And that's the basic difference. And some languages are compiled, other languages use an interpreter. So it creates an object program, and this is all done behind the scenes. And then that object program goes into the computer and we run it. Okay, so it goes into the computer and we run it. And at this point, we can bring in some data. Oh, good. I have no idea what just took that. Let's try that one more time. I might have some data that is sitting on a disk. And the data is being read by the object program. I may have data that is coming in from the user. So I may have the data coming in from the user. I may have the user keying in some data. Okay? And the program executes. Okay? If it worked, I get output. Let's say I wanted a printed report, and let's say I wanted another report on the screen, and let's say I wanted something to go onto a disk. I can have it send out data in all directions. I can have something print, I can have something go to a disk, I can have something go to the user. Okay? So that's if it works. If it doesn't work, that's up to you. So we'll talk about that in a second. The errors that come out over here are called syntax errors, which means they are a misuse of the language. Okay? So if I, for example, am trying to tell it to write, and one of the commands is write, W-R-I-T-E. If I spell it R-I-G-H-T, then it is not going to understand me. If I spell it W-R-I-T, it is not going to understand me. If I leave out a necessary parenthesis, so I have an open parenthesis and I don't have a close, it's not going to understand me. It's a dumb machine, okay? So it can't interpret what I might have meant unless you're in artificial intelligence. So it is going to give me errors, and their misuse of the language, or syntax errors. Over here, it produced output. And I look at the output, whether it's on the screen or on paper, I look at the output. And I determine if it's the output that I want. Maybe I'm producing a paycheck. And I told it to add your pay per hour plus your hour's work instead of multiply them. Okay? So, you worked 40 hours, you get paid $20 an hour, it added them up and wrote you a check for $60. You're not going to be too happy. Okay? But the computer didn't know what you wanted to do. You wrote the right command. You just said add instead of multiply. It can do that, it's not a problem. So that is, if you have errors, those are logic errors. Okay, so these are logic errors. And those are up to you to figure out. So you have to look at your output and figure out if your output makes any sense, if you're getting the correct output. So again, if you've got a paycheck for $60 when it should have been for $800, you're going to kind of, especially if it's your paycheck, you're going to notice. And the programmer should be checking output, and so they should be noticing too. So logic errors means that you did something wrong with the program, so you've got to go all the way back to the source program, change that place where you said add to now say multiply, and then recompile, run the results of the compile, and see if now you're saying 800 instead of 60. Okay? So that's basically what you are doing when you're running a program, is you are starting out and you're checking misuse of the language, and if you got the language all right, then you have to check and make sure you told it to do the right thing, that the output you're getting is what is required. And what people frequently do is they check it and they have other people check it. And they run the program when they're writing it with test data. So they know what the results of the test data should be, and then they can check and make sure that that is indeed what came out. The reason for having other people test it is that maybe you didn't think of something when you were writing the program, and so something that should have happened never happened. And if somebody else takes a look and tests the program, they may see that, okay? So maybe on your paycheck, you forgot to subtract one of the things you should subtract. You're subtracting withholding, you're subtracting taxes, but maybe you forgot to subtract the fact if people contribute to a charity, and you forgot to subtract that. Somebody else may pick it up and say, wait a minute, you didn't do that. And so that is the way it comes out. Now, prior to writing the program, you also should be thinking through the logic. Okay, so prior to writing the program, you need to think about the logic. And the two ways that we do thinking about a logic is a flowchart, and another way is called pseudocode. And we will be getting into pseudocode probably next week. But another way is pseudocode. What pseudocode is a language has certain requirements. When I write a programming language, there are certain requirements. I may need a semicolon at the end of the line, like we just saw with the selects. I may need all kinds of rules that I want to follow. Flowcharts and pseudocode let you forget about the language and just think about the logic that you want to accomplish, what you want to accomplish. And pseudocode is kind of writing the program, but writing it in English, meaning you're not worrying about syntax, you're just writing down the instructions in order in English. Flowchart is drawing it out. So if you're more of a visual person, you probably like a flowchart better. If you're more less visual, you probably like a pseudocode better. But you think through the logic. Now, at one point many years ago, they decided that they were going to take a programmer's job and break it into two parts. One part would be thinking through the logic, and the other part would be doing the code. And guess which one got the highest pay?
Thinking through the logic.
The logic would be getting the highest pay because that's the complex part. If you understand the language, then writing the code once you've thought through the logic is not a big problem. If you don't know the language, then it's a big problem. But once you've learned the language, then writing it isn't a big problem. But the logic is where everything lies. They decided that didn't work too well because, in fact, they couldn't separate the two jobs as easily as they thought they could. But at that time, the logic people would be getting the higher pay than the people who were actually writing it. Questions? Now, all programs have input, processing, and output. Okay, so I have, with the program, I have input, I have processing, and I have output. Okay? So the program is what does the processing. I provide data as the input, and I get data as the output. So we've been looking at a database that can store data, and we've been looking at how we can query the database. But we can also have the database as the input to a program that does ask a lot of different questions and makes decisions as to how things are going to go, and then produces output that you can read. Okay? So all programming breaks down into input, processing, and output. Okay. Anybody got any questions? If not, we're actually early today, so we're done. So if you no questions, we're done. If you have questions, now's the time to stay around if you have questions.